Let's have a look at what we might be able to see in the night sky this March. We'll start with the stars. In the early evening, the southern sky has that wonderful constellation of Orion the Hunter, high in the south. Up to its right is Taurus the Bull, and at the very tip, really at about 80 degrees elevation for those of us in England, is a little group of stars, the cluster called the Pleiades, a lovely object to observe with binoculars. Down to the lower left of Orion is the brightest star we see in the northern sky, Sirius. As it's low down, it very often seems to twinkle quite dramatically and even produces coloured lights. It's because of the refractive effect of the low atmosphere. So we often get people ringing up and saying they've seen this light flashing in the sky with different colours. Well, often it's Sirius. Up to the left of Orion is the constellation of Gemini, which is rising and becomes due south, let's say about 10 o'clock. And of course now there are other constellations coming into view in the late evening. In particular, over to the left and down a bit from Gemini is the constellation of Leo the Lion. It's rather like the rampant lions on their haunches in Trafalgar Square, and the head, the mane, faces towards Gemini. In between is a fairly empty part of the sky. It's the constellation of Cancer. But with binoculars, you can pick up a lovely cluster there, quite a wide cluster, called the Beehive Cluster, or sometimes Prisipe. In fact, at the moment, as we'll see later, between Cancer and Leo, there's an interloper, but more of that a little bit later on. High above Leo is the constellation of Ursa Major, the Great Bear, one of the best-known constellations in the sky. In fact, the part that most of see and spot is in fact the plough. The Americans call it the Big Dipper, after a big ladle. The two right-hand stars of the plough are known as the pointers because they point up, or sideways, whatever, to the pole star. So that's how you can find north if it's clear night in the northern hemisphere. So in fact we have a very lovely sweep of stars in the sky at this time of year. It's well worth taking some binoculars and having a look. So next, let's have a look at the planets. There are really two planets that we can sensibly observe at the moment. The first is Venus. If you have a clear evening after the sunset, you cannot fail to see Venus in the western sky. It's totally dominating the sky there. It has a magnitude of -4, which is pretty bright. It will actually stay at that magnitude for quite a few months. As Venus orbits the sun, so as it gets nearer to us, less of its disk is illuminated. We get phases rather like the moon. But because it's actually getting nearer, the apparent reflecting area stays pretty much constant. And so for quite a few months, Venus stays at a magnitude very close to -4. It was the fact that Venus showed phases, and particularly nearly full phases, that Galileo realized that it must orbit the sun, and hence the Copernican theory of our solar system must be right. The other planet I've alluded to earlier is the planet Saturn, and it lies between Cancer and Leo, very close to the constellation of Boundary. It's about 7 to 8 degrees up to the right of the brightest star in Leo, which is called Regulus. It looks slightly yellow in colour. If you have a small telescope, it's well worth observing. You do see the lovely rings. Perhaps Saturn is one of the most beautiful sights in the whole of the heavens. At the moment, those rings are getting rather tighter. In a couple of years, they'll be edge-on and we'll barely see them at all. At the moment, I think the angle is about 13 to 15 degrees, slowly reducing. So, in fact, Saturn won't be quite as bright in the next few years as it had been in the past few when the rings have been wide open. A small telescope will easily show Saturn's largest moon, Titan. And perhaps an 8-inch telescope will show you another 4 as well, if you have a dark sky. So it's a lovely planet to observe. Saturn is also involved in one of the highlights this month, particularly if you have a small telescope. On the evening of March the 2nd, if you live on the eastern side of England, you'll actually see the moon pass in front of Saturn. We say that Saturn is occulted by the moon. Anywhere from a line from Edinburgh through Leeds, London to Eastbourne on the south coast, should actually see Saturn disappear behind the moon's limb. If you live on a line to the east of Glasgow, Liverpool, Bristol, and the south coast near Portsmouth, then you'll actually see part of Saturn being occulted. But sadly, to the west of that, you'll just see Saturn apparently slide by the moon, although of course it's the moon that's passing in front between us and Saturn. So that's a nice thing to observe. Perhaps even with binoculars, you could see that very, very close passage of Saturn and the moon. The next night on the 3rd of March is perhaps the highlight of this month, and probably for several months. We'll have, if it's clear to see, a total eclipse of the moon. They don't happen very often. What happens is the moon will pass, firstly, through the penumbra of the Earth's shadow, and then through the umbra, when, theoretically, no light at all should reach it from the sun. But we can usually see it. And the reason is because light can refract round through the Earth's atmosphere and fall onto the moon. If you were at the moon, looking back at the Earth, you'd see the Earth dark with a rim of light around it, our atmosphere. That rim would look very reddish, because as we look through a lot of atmosphere, as you know, the sun appears to be reddish in colour, the sunlight is red. The blue light's been scattered by particles and aerosols in the atmosphere, which is why the sky above us is blue. So the light that will reach the moon during totality is very reddish in colour, and the moon can look a lovely reddish ochre colour. Now, of course, that does mean that a fair bit of light's got to go through the atmosphere. If there's been a major volcanic eruption in the previous year or so, there's a lot of dust in the atmosphere, and very little light passes through, and in fact, the moon can be rather dull, dark grey colour. Now, happily, we haven't had any major eruptions on the Earth's surface for several years, so this March, the atmosphere should be really quite clear, and so I'm hoping for a lovely view of the moon. The moon moves into the Earth's penumbra at about 8:15. It goes into the umbra, where it's totally eclipsed, at 10:44 in the evening. It comes out at nearly 1 o'clock, and finally comes out of the whole of the Earth's shadow at 02:25 in the morning. The mid-eclipse is at about 12:20. So it is well worth staying up to have a look at what can be one of the most beautiful sights we ever see in the sky. Good hunting.